throwing the doors wide open for another half hour here at my house, Rosie on the House, for all of you Arizona homeowners. It's our goal every single Saturday, actually every single day of the year, to be your best friend. Even when we're not on air here at Rosie on the House, 4 hours every Saturday morning, we live at our website, rosieonthehouse.com. And we've answered every question we've ever been asked on air over the last 30 years and put them into an encyclopedia that you can access for free anytime you want. That's at the website, rosieonthehouse.com. We're talking a little bit today based on our calendar we have printed. There we're going to be talking about outdoor living, which January just happens to be, particularly a mild January like this, you know, a fantastic time to spend time out in your yard. And we've covered the outdoor living concept from various different angles all month long. And we're wrapping that topic up this week by talking about ways to make your yard more sustainable. We've been talking about xeriscaping your house and plant things that are native to the area or do well in the area. Don't plant any one of the toughest things that we've listed that you need to grow. We've talked about shade trees as far as the native mesquites and Palo Verdes, as well as the ash, the elm, the pistache, and the oak. But other vertical landscaping features you could plant that provide a little shade.
Well, we were just thinking about things you might be tempted if you want to grow things that are from our desert. You just need to be careful if you're considering a saguaro. Saguaros have to be permitted in order to move them. In most cities, you can move them around your yard, but in some cities, you can't even move them within your yard without a permit. So you want to be sure and check out what the code is in your area. You can move a saguaro pretty successfully if you hire a company. Of course, you need somebody who can handle the weight. The weight of a saguaro is tremendous.
Yes, it is.
And it will involve maybe keeping water from that saguaro for a while because it would be so heavy in order to move. But they dig out under it and put it up on this truck. And
a little gurney. Saguaro gurney.
Right. And if somebody tries to sell you a saguaro, make sure that they have a permit to go with it.
Interesting thing about a saguaro, any, and a barrel cactus the same way, you have to mark which side of the cactus faces south. And when you replant it, it has to be orientated the same place.
I had forgotten that.
Yeah.
In order for it to do well.
Yes. Right. So we'll cover a few more points about backyard, but we do have some people very patiently holding on the line who have called in and want to visit about their home in particular. So let's bring Bob calling from Tucson, and then we've got Kurt and Ted waiting in line. Bob.
Hey, Rosie, I have a question about your old super cooling stuff.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's another technology called pre-cooling. I've spoken to you about this before, but, you know, out in California, they've been doing lots of work on evaporative cooling ahead of your air conditioner, and they got some good results. Can I email you some stuff?
Yes, absolutely. Now, there's a lot of testing going on all over the country about things, innovations that revolve around air conditioning. But
yeah, that's a big one. I mean, like Dillinger said, go for the money. That's where the energy is, air conditioning.
That's right. And there are a lot of innovations that we're seeing come out. Just know that if it works well in coastal San Diego, it may not work very well in Sonoran Desert Phoenix.
Well, I'll give you that, but one thing's for sure. There's not too many places that see 30 days over 105 degrees in the summertime.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. I would love for you to
send some stuff, but it's pretty interesting, and the bottom line is, you know, upgrading an entire system is really big bucks.
It certainly can be. Certainly can
be. You know, if you can come up with a lower-cost solution, you know, it just seems to be logical. You know, some people should give this stuff a try.
You send me whatever you've got. That's one of the great advantages of having the visibility we have at Rosie on the House is when very often, like we took a call at 9 o'clock this morning from the woman, Christine, I think, in Tucson with the overhead garage door problem. And then we had three people call in and say, this is what it is, this is what it is. So we've got access. We're kind of like the collection point for a lot of data. With Jennifer and I on the airplane ride, we were just talking about just managing all the data and all the information can be just so huge. So I welcome people sending me this kind of information. And there are all kinds of very creative air conditioning solutions going on. You know, one of the more creative that I saw, which isn't available on the market right now, but is in development stage, is a two-cylinder natural gas compressor that you attach to your electric panel outside. And it generates, depending on the price of natural gas, it generates electricity using two alternators right off the O'Reilly Auto Parts shelf. It generates enough power to run most homes.
Are they using that technology anywhere now?
It's in development right now. And they do that for about 8 cents a kilowatt. It would seem to me, that Southwest Gas would be spending the money to invest in that.
For sure.
And develop
those generators.
Let's get
this going, yeah.
But there's other technology out there as well. The one that really, really intrigues me, Bill, is that, I'm sorry.
Bob.
This is Bob. That intrigues me is, I'm getting used to this Google Documents thing. They have air conditioning in the Middle East. Now, I'm talking about like Saudi Arabia, you know, that Middle East, not Cleveland, not Kansas City, where you actually take hydraulic lines and you bury them 40 feet under your house in coils. And then these lines go through the floor of your house, the walls of your house, and the ceilings of your house. And no matter where you are, either in Siberia or Saudi Arabia, that deep into the ground is a pretty constant temperature. They're keeping homes. There was one pilot home being built out in Santan Valley. You just circulate this hydraulic material through all the surfaces of your home. Year-round, it keeps your home at 72 degrees.
Isn't digging 40 feet in caliche pretty expensive?
In caliche, it could be very expensive. But in other types of soil, the decomposed granite, the alluvial wash that we have in a lot of areas, it isn't that expensive. The expensive part is, and so then what you do while you're circulating this fluid, you have actual thermostats in each room that tells you how much of the fluid to circulate into that particular room. And you're doing it all with the same amount of energy it takes to power a 40-watt light bulb. Pennies. You wouldn't have an air conditioning bill. You wouldn't have a heating bill.
Let's go shopping.
The expensive part isn't digging the hole. The expensive part is there isn't a bank or mortgage company on the world that will put a mortgage on your home in Arizona without a conventional air conditioner on it. So you have to then spend the money to do that, and the money to buy the air conditioning system, which you will never use.
Well, that's right now, though.
That's right now. So maybe as the tests come, in on these homes, it'll get more well accepted, and the mortgage companies will start loaning money on it. So, Bob, we appreciate it. And again, we welcome all the information. We do get a flood of information. Sometimes it is a bit of a challenge to keep up with all of it, but we try. Let's see if we can welcome Kurt into the conversation. We're going from air conditioning to bugs.
Good morning, Kurt.
So my wife has been asking me to seal up the house to prevent bugs from entering, and I really don't know how to go about doing that.
Kurt, depending on how particular she is and what she means by sealing up to keep the bugs up, it's virtually impossible to keep everything out. And part of the reason for that is even when we have the weather stripping on, our exterior doors perfectly fit in one season of the year. As we change seasons and the door or the jams move just from the change in temperature, they need to be constantly adjusted. One of the things I can tell you a lot of people do, is it a stucco home?
Yeah.
Okay. And when was it built?
It's 12 years old.
12 years old. Cool. So when we poured the concrete foundation for that house, then we laid the sole plate for the framing, the 2x4, the 2x6. we created a joint in between that concrete, the top of the stem wall, and the bottom of the sole plate. That's a notorious area for critters to get in. And when we then lathed the house, we put what was called a piece of J-mold down, and we nailed it to the base plate and the stud, and we hung it down past the concrete level just about an inch and a half or so. And then we put the foam in board in there. Then we stretched the chicken wire. Then we stucco it. That little piece of J-metal has holes drilled in the bottom because stucco's not waterproof. We must allow the water that it absorbs in a rainstorm to get out somewhere. There are some pest control companies that actually caulk those holes closed. That is horrible. So make sure that doesn't happen. But you can lay down on your back, and it's hard to do, but you can lay down on your back and caulk between the concrete and the J-mold. But don't seal those holes that occur about every 6 inches. They must stay open. So that's one area that a lot of bugs get in. Now, it's a lot of work to do what I just told you. The pest control companies that are ROSI certified know how to create a chemical barrier there so that the critters don't want to come in. But then every single time you open the door and leave it open while you make two or three trips out to the car to empty the grocery bags, you know, you violated that. There's vent pipes, plumbing vent pipes. There's electrical receptacles on the outside wall that have little travel corridors to get inside your house. So depending on how particular she is, it's impossible to seal your home for any and all bugs.
The diatomaceous earth around the perimeter does a lot, I think.
It does do a lot. You have to keep it down,
yeah.
And every time the wind blows or it rains, you have to lay more down. But I know people that fight scorpions in particular at their home that keep a little cup of diatomaceous earth, right, food grade if you have pets, and they constantly keep a little stream of diatomaceous earth right on the step outside all the doors of the house because that's, you know, one of the areas that make it easy for a scorpion to get in. So all kind of tricks, Kurt, but boy, if you're trying to seal a house perfectly tight to keep any and all bugs out, I'm going to tell you have your work cut out for you right there. Okay? We appreciate the call. We've got Ted and we've got Carrie. We have an open line for you if you want to try and sneak in before we have to sign off here in about another 15 minutes. The number is 1-888-767-4348. It's Rosie on the house. And as we sign off here in about 15 minutes, I don't want you all to get scared. And don't get nervous. You can always still find us at rosieonthehouse.com. And remember, whatever questions we've answered for the last 30 years, the answers are all there. There's a very little dirty secret I'm going to let you in on. If y'all all use the website, we wouldn't have to have a radio show.
How boring would that be?
We'll be back.